Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Are charter schools constitutional in Washington state? It may surprise you the issue hasn't been settled yet, but it has finally come before the state Supreme Court. And among those who argued the case are legal consultant, former state attorney general Rob McKenna. Our conversation made possible by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. So we established that up front. You argued the case before the court. And just full disclosure on my part, I was a big supporter of the very first charter school initiative proposed by Fawn and Jim Spady back, I don't know how many years ago, because I thought they're worth trying. So I will try, however, to grill you mercilessly on this. So what was your what's the argument, first of all, against the constitutionality of charter schools, Rob?
Well, the opponents argue that charter schools should be governed by school boards, like the common schools are. The common schools are the schools that we find in school districts that have a school board and that are funded by a combination of local levy money, local voter approved funds, and state money. And because charter schools can be, you know, kindergarten through sixth grade or all the way through high school, they look a little more like the regular neighborhood public school called a common school than does, say, the Running Start program at the local community college. However, they're just another form of public schools, just like Running Start and tribal compact schools and the technical colleges that high school students can attend and are in a host of other public schools that are not common schools. And so they argue that somehow the charter schools violate the provision in the state constitution, which requires the state to provide a general and uniform system of public education. Our argument, on the other hand, is of course they're just another form of public school, and not all schools have to be common schools to be constitutional. Indeed, many of them aren't.
Of course, this gets into the weeds. I think what people are thinking is we vote for a local school board, so we expect the local school board to have responsibility for the local schools that our property taxes pay for. Isn't that a valid point?
Except that the charter public schools aren't funded by the local property tax. They're funded out of the Opportunity Pathways account, which is a special account established by the state legislature to fund educational improvements in K-12 and higher education. All of the money in the Opportunity Pathways account comes from state lottery revenues. None of it comes from local taxes or, for that matter, from state taxes. So the funding argument, I think, basically fails.
But the argument there is if it wasn't going to the charter schools, it could be spent on the public schools, which are always asking for money.
Well, all the money is spent on the public schools. But what the opponents are trying to do is to confuse public schools generally with common schools specifically. And I know it's a little it feels like you're a little bit down in the weeds when we talk about this, but the common schools are foundational to our public education system in Washington state. They're in the Constitution. They're the only type of public school that is required to exist by the state constitution. And it's because the founders of the state wanted to make sure that students would always have access at no charge to a local school that provides all the elements of a sound basic education. And that idea now is being, taken and I think distorted to try to say, well, you can't have any schools that look like common schools either, that somehow they all have to be under local voter control, even though they aren't funded by local money and they're instead governed by, you know, the Charter School Commission in this case, which is a combination of gubernatorial and legislative appointees and the superintendent of public instruction who serves on it. That's the argument that the opponents are making, and that's why the Supreme Court is hearing the case.
You don't believe then that they, I mean, there's only 10 schools now, so they're not going to suck away a lot of money from the rest of the school system, but at some point, and they seem to be popular with parents. I mean, the schools, charters I've visited, the parents absolutely love them. So they will grow, and won't they at some point end up being a competitor to the traditional public schools?
Probably not. And there are two reasons I can say that with confidence. Number one, we were the 42nd state to finally have a charter school law. So there's a lot of history, a lot of experience in the rest of the country. So more than 80% of states have charter public schools, and they have not overtaken the common schools, in other parts of the country. They continue to be one option, but they continue to represent a fraction of the total schools. Even in California, which has over 1,200 charter public schools, that's just a fraction of the total number of public schools in that enormous state. That secondly, the statute that was at issue in the Supreme Court last week limits the number of charter public schools to 40 out of more than 2,200 public schools. Now, the legislature could choose to raise that cap or even eliminate it someday, but that would be a different case. If hypothetically, charter public schools became so common that the common schools were threatened, then opponents could bring that challenge. But that is such a remote possibility, and it would be so far into the future that it's not the issue before the court. It wouldn't be appropriate for the court to base its ruling on speculation. The fact is, frankly, that if the traditional common schools ever became that bad that everybody was leaving them, we'd have a much bigger problem than the fact that there are charter public schools.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, sponsored by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, thanks very much.
Dave, thank you.